Hi everyone, and welcome to episode 334 of the Mighty Whites podcast. I'm Jack, as always, joined by Casey.
Hello.
How's things, mate?
Yeah, not bad. How are you?
Yeah, all good. Things have been a bit up in the air. Things have been very busy, but it's a bit calmer now. And I was plenty calm until I opened up Twitter and read a Baron Cross tweet about Daniel Farke saying everyone outside the club expected us to just cruise to 9th or 10th this season, but I knew it wouldn't be that easy. Fuck off, Daniel, you lying fuck.
I really want to know who he means, like whether he means the league. Like, I take it as the fan base is what he's saying, but even if you take it in the anyone who's not a Leeds fan, I don't know anyone who was predicting us to fit, like, literally no one.
No, we mock Connie. Anyone who's new, Connie is in the predictions and he's sometimes on the podcast. We mock him for his relentless optimism and how he always thinks Leeds are going to be better than they are. Connie said 15th.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sorry, just this idea. It's not the first time he's been doing it a lot lately. Oh, everyone said we were safe after the West Ham game. No, they fucking didn't. Like, this is the sort of thing that'll get my back up against a manager as much as anything. Because the second you're having to lie to make your point, it means you don't have a point.
It's a bizarre line he's taken at the moment with this. Like I say, I saw the tweet as well, and I just didn't understand like who that's for. Because it's not a comment that, I don't think it's a comment that particularly protects him or the players. And it does nothing to get the fans on board who are at best becoming apathetic.
Yeah. Because he also, you know, said he's working with limited resources. And given what we have in the attacking areas, okay, I'm willing to accept that. You're not using them to their strengths anyway, and you're not playing some of the better players. But all right, even if I take it all at face value and not as a lie, all right, if everyone outside of the Leeds bubble thought that squad might get into the top half, all it does is make him sound even worse.
Yeah, are you not underachieving with that squad? Then?
You are therefore underachieving more. You're doing a worse job. It's the sort of bollocks that a manager comes out with when they know that they're going to get sacked.
Yeah, it was such an odd thing to say. But, I mean, I suppose if you go back to some of the comments that came out of Sunday's performance, which were questionable.
Yeah, but he went back into it's a good performance overall, I can't really complain.
It was bad when I was listening to Radio Leeds on the way back, because I think a few people were describing his comments as a bit Jesse Marsh.
Well, they are a bit Jesse Marsh. Only, right, I obviously fell out quite heavily with Jesse Marsh. I will say at least Jesse Marsh is a good talker. I can see how he could fire someone up.
Well, he's American, isn't he?
Yeah, he's got that, you know, I've never seen Ted Lasso, but he has that thing.
Hmm.
Where you've got the charisma and the energy to get through it. Unfortunately, if you listen to it a lot, you are going to see through it quite quickly. Whereas this with Farke, it's not that. It's not fast talking to big yourself up, big the team up. It's just bollocks.
Yeah. I mean, I suppose, should we go through the game first and then kind of come back to his comments this week?
Yeah, obviously, Leeds won Villa 2. And as we have said with Farke before, and it's the in-game stuff that's the issue. First half, weren't bad. I'd say we probably edged it.
Yeah, I thought for the most part, we started positively. We pressed them well. Won the ball back in quite positive areas. Probably not that many clear-cut chances, shock horror, but generally we were much more positive than we had been against two much worse teams prior to that.
Yeah, the performance was miles better than Brighton and Forest. Like, there's no doubt about that.
And then Yeah, we shock horror. Leeds have a set piece.
It's sort of a weird one. Like, you know, Leeds' goal. It's a good ball in. Goodmanson gets there and sort of hooks it back in. We did say Martinez is a very good keeper, but he isn't actually as good as he's rated to be. I think he's terrible on this goal.
When I watched it back, obviously you are kind of taught from a young age as a keeper. Whenever you go up, get your knee up, full Triple H. But you know, it gives you a yard, a bit of space. And he seems to lead with a flying boot that I'm not sure if that's not why Stat gets turned inside out the way he does.
Yeah.
But it's as if he's terrified to try and actually go anywhere near this ball.
Yeah, because I think Stat beats him to it fairly comfortably.
Yeah, what happens as I watch it is Martinez jumps straight up in the air as if, like me going for a header, he's a good yard or two behind where the ball's actually going. Yeah, Stack wins the header, gets clattered and subsequently concussed.
Yeah, and in case we forget to mention it later, he is definitely out against Man City.
He is definitely
out. And might be out against Chelsea.
Although, I did see him in Marks and Spencer's the next day. And because I had the lovely moment of going, I think that's Anton Stack. And then a woman who started speaking to him in German appeared. Oh, and that's going to be Anton Stack. He seemed fine. Walked in a straight line and everything.
Exclusive news, everyone. Because one of us is a posh fuck that goes in M&S.
Oh, mate, it's party food season. I'm saying this as if I don't go the rest of the year. But yeah. And then, yeah, something met your goal.
Yeah, I'm still, because I was too annoyed, I haven't gone and watched this back properly. It looks like it's a good clearance off the line that just hits Metcher and goes in.
Metcher, a real poacher's finish.
Hey, sometimes you need one to go in off your ass. The only time I've seen it properly was Gianluca Vialli for Chelsea over years ago, who's got literally off his ass. But you know, it gets you 1-0 up. Sometimes you need something scrappy, and for the rest of the half, we are at least as good as them. They're not really giving us any major trouble. Obviously, Stat goes off for Tanaka, and I think Tanaka comes on and is our best midfielder for the rest of the game while he's on the pitch. I think he was excellent. Everything is looking okay. And then I
would say, just before we finish the first half, I think there's a couple of bits. One, foreshadowing, there's a free kick in the first half that they don't get quite right, but it takes Perry an absolute age to get that wall where he wants it.
And we were sat, because of where we are in the East Stand, we were sat the correct side to be looking from behind that. And we were both saying, I don't like this setup at all. It only takes a decent free kick rather than a great one.
I know, you're asking a player to get the ball over the wall and down. And you're like, but that's free kicks in essence. And we'll get into it later. Yeah. And I think there's I can't remember who it is. It might have been Morgan Rogers. There's the curling effort just wide at the end of the first half, which I thought we looked a little bit shaky dealing with that as they went through.
Yeah.
But again, it was a shot from outside the area and a free kick that went over the bar. There's
nothing that's going to worry you that much.
Yeah.
Yeah. So at halftime, Unai Emery, who is a good manager,
tactical genius,
sees that they're not really doing enough in their top two. They've sort of started with Rodgers and Watkins sort of as a two. Rodgers is dropping off a bit. But they take off Digne, who we picked out pre-game as not being as quick as he once was, to bring on Ian Matson at left back. But the change that does stuff is Daniel Marlon comes on for Emi Buendia. Rodgers goes wide and Marlon goes the sort of up with Watkins to give them more of an actual two. And go 2v2 against our centre-backs for the most part. Something which I think Daniel Fatt might have noticed by around about the 67th minute. Something like that. The half just starts badly and just keeps going badly. Now, the goal itself, And I have not gone back and properly watched this. I've only seen it back once. The ball's out wide, gets played into Marlon, who has, what, 7 yards in every direction?
Yeah, he's out wide, and Goodmanson goes with him. I'm not saying he goes with him quick, but he goes across with him.
And you've got Okafor, who has come back, but doesn't come back far enough. So he's not there. And when I saw it in the ground, my first thought was, well, he needs to get in quicker. And I still think he probably does. But having seen it back only once quickly, if Ampadu's paying attention, he can just come across earlier and basically get rid of all of that as an issue.
Mm.
And that lack of awareness that we seem to be having in that area when the ball's out wide just carries on. Marlon puts in a good ball. Morgan Rogers seems to be like one against three in the middle, but still gets there pretty comfortably, and it's a good finish, to be fair. But it's another goal down the left side. It's another goal that's from a pullback. This one's more of a pull across, but it's a similar type of goal to concede to the ones that we've kept conceding.
So I suppose at this point, we'll go back to what Farker said after the game then, that the problem area is our left-hand side. To which I sort of understand on a very base level, because that's where the issue starts.
Yeah, and goals have come from that side pretty regularly.
I will say, most of the goals, yes, there is a ball in from the left-hand side, but it's mostly seemingly that no one's within an arse's roar of anyone who's in the middle.
Yeah.
Which I think saying the problem is the left-hand side does a massive disservice to how shit our defensive midfield has been at tracking people in the middle.
Yeah. I think there's definitely a lot of truth to that.
I also think it does a massive disservice to the player who's probably our player of the year so far in our left-back, who, yes, and look, I don't think any of us, again, will pretend that Noah Okafor was going to be the workhorse that Dan James or Brendan Aaronson are on that side. Like, I know he's very much an attacking player.
Yeah. I don't think he's lazy about like that, but he doesn't work back like Dan James or Aaronson.
No.
Or even the version 3 years ago, Jack Harrison.
Yeah, good Jack.
Yeah.
But yeah, I did think it was quite interesting that it was the left-hand side is the problem, which yes, there are plenty of balls coming from that side. But we go back to so many games where it's just there is someone in the middle, there is not a midfielder within 5 yards of them, that person has scored. I think it completely deflects any blame off the central midfielders for not tracking people.
Yeah.
Having just stood up for Goodmanson there.
Yeah. Now, but my main bit here that I got annoyed at was, obviously, we've conceded a goal like 3 minutes after the break. It's a bad start to the half. But the half is just pretty consistently bad from then on. And you're looking over to the bench and nothing is being done about it. It's just, you know, there is not a single proactive thought in that manner. And this would be being reactive, but by his standards, it would have been proactive to make a change in the 55th minute. Like, we just weren't there at all. And I know that the goal comes after the changes, but even the changes that he does make, like, it's Calvert-Lewin for Metcha and James for Tanaka. With a sort of Aaronson moving into 10. Now, you know, Calvert-Lewin for Metcha, fair enough. And I know that it's since come out that, well, what they've actually said is the actual quote was that, like, the fourth official had said to Farker that foul that Tanaka made where he played advantage, the ref wanted to send him off for it. But he couldn't because he played advantage. Now, first things first, that's not the laws of the game. He can still do that if he wants to. You don't see it very often, admittedly. And if that is why he subbed him off, I understand it. I still disagree with the decision. because I thought he was our best midfielder by such a distance that I would have chanced it. Because I thought that Sean Longstaff was having, at best, a bad game. And I didn't think Ampadu was great either.
No, Ampadu was definitely the most lively of the midfielders and most active. And again, certainly second half, like the rest of the team, he was getting on the ball less and having less influence. But in a game where I think we'd spoken about before that Stack is really good at sort of pressing their sort of right back and the central midfielder when they play out from the back there.
He was noticeably very good at that in the first 20 minutes.
Yeah, and I think you certainly lose that element with Tanaka on it. It's just a different thing you get from him. But like I said, on the ball, it gave us something through the middle that's massively lacking. It's also worth saying as well, he was very unlucky with his yellow card.
If I remember right, in real time, I thought that his foot came up a bit high, but that's because it was a bouncing ball, and I thought he got to the ball first. But I haven't seen it back, so I could be wrong.
But yeah, I think the other side of it was as well, we were not long off Brendan Aaronson's 20-yard run across the pitch, not releasing a pass and losing it when we were in a half-decent position.
Yeah, and he'd also had the one, 5 minutes earlier where he broke away, was running well, and he hit like a left-foot shot that got blocked.
Yeah.
But if he just passes it to his left, Metcher is clean for one goal.
Yeah, so I think when we saw Dan James getting ready, it very much felt like, oh, like for like, James on for Aaronson.
Well, let me just check for minutes before I don't get this wrong. Right, those subs were the 71st minute. Did you notice, because we already had people like stood by the touchline, did you notice what happened when the board went up for them to take off Ollie Watkins?
Brendan Aaronson started legging it across the pitch.
Yeah, when he saw that number 11. Because he assumed he was going off as well. Because like, he's not an idiot. Like, he knew he wasn't. He'd had a decent first half.
Yeah.
But he was having a bit of a mare in the second. It happens. But yeah, that one where he got the ball and just ran inside and lost it, that I lost my head, as did, and you wouldn't have.
I stormed off to the toilet when that happened. Yeah, I could have gone home.
I say, it's a bad sign that no one would have noticed me really losing my head in the crowd, because everyone else was as well. I may have used the term, oh, for fuck's sake, I'm a fat bastard and I could have made a pass there. It's all words to that effect. But, you know, it happens. And then we get the goal after those subs, which is so avoidable. It's just a long ball, not even a good one, that Goodmanson just falls over when he goes to clear it. And puts everyone in trouble. Strauch has to throw himself into a desperate tackle because he's not going to catch him. He's facing the wrong way. There's no way of him chasing back with their player who's got a running start. He has to throw himself into tackle, gives away, Val gets booked. And that is an annoying way to give away a free kick. And then it goes in. And it's a good free kick. It's not a great free kick. It's a good free kick. Gets it up and over the wall with a bit of movement on it. Now, they're both at fault for this. But in the ground, everyone went mental at Perry and I went mental at the wall. I was wrong to go mental at the wall because most of them jumped. However, it goes 3 inches over the head of Joe Roden, who just doesn't jump. And I'm sorry, there's someone laid on the floor behind you to make it so that you can jump as much as you want. Joe Roden's been brilliant for us ever since we signed him. He's a cracking defender. He would absolutely be in the team. But what the... I know it's not great from Perry, and it's more the wall... I still think it's more the way the wall's set up than his actual goalkeeping, which is done by him, so it is, that bit is his fault. But he's set up a wall to defend that bit of the goal, and if that bit of the wall jumps, it works fine. I cannot get my head around him just not... I don't know how you switch off in the wall, but that's what it looked like.
My I think when I watched it, and I watched it back a couple of times, I don't know if it's that he's mistimed his jump. Like, he's gone to start moving and thought, I need to go quick, and he just doesn't get any movement. Because he goes up a little bit, as if he's going up on his toes.
Yeah, and rather than jumping, he's just like...
Yeah, I don't know if he's just mistimed it and that, but at the same time, like you say, he jumps, he takes it in the face and like a champion, and
yeah, which is a very Joe Roden thing to do.
We counter attack and we win 2-1. Like, yeah, so, but I mean, there's the angle behind. I'm guessing you did watch Match of the Day afterwards.
No, I have heard that Joe Hart came to his defense quite strongly.
Yeah, so just Joe Hart kind of picks out a few examples of the free kick technique, and I think he likened it to the way Gareth Bale took the free kick. Morgan Rogers is saying Emi Buendia taught him it. Mm. I can't deny it. It does dip. They do get it up and down. Because with that free kick as well, it is right on the edge of the box.
Yeah, it's a good free kick. And if it goes right in the corner, it's a great free kick.
Yeah. Perry does, well, no, he falls backwards as it goes in,
yeah,
in some sort of shock, which doesn't help. The clip that was doing the rounds of the people in those boxes at the back of the south stand, where that are just behind it, really didn't help things.
No,
I know part of that is he probably doesn't see it till late, but again, you've made that wall, like, yeah, you've put that there. It's all round. It just again was poor.
Yeah, I think that the reason that I end up looking at Roden so much is because Perry has had his faults, so I sort of expect him. I really didn't expect Joe Roden to do something like that.
He's been due one.
Yeah, it's sort of weird that it's because he's been good that I was looking at it so harshly. But yeah, it's such a poor goal to give away. And the truth is, Leeds never really did enough to actually get back into it. We did have a goal disallowed, which I haven't watched back because the people who watched it on TV said, yeah, Kempe went straight in off Calvert-Lewin's arm. You can't do that.
It's the hand as well.
Yeah, it's a good ball. It gets James in behind in the right area. What will say from the one thing of seeing it, because James is going for goal and it comes out off the keeper, it's not a particularly good finish for what is a very good chance.
Yeah, I did see, and you'll be shocked at my defence of this, Jack. I have seen people saying, oh, God's sake, why didn't Calvert-Lewin just get out of the way? Like, there was no getting out of the way. His momentum was taking it into that ball the whole time.
Yeah, and it's not like it was going in and when it hit him.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, but kind of that aside, we had the Strouk header from a corner?
Yeah, that was a really good header, actually. That was just, and then I think Martinez makes a pretty good save. That was a good header and a good ball in.
Yeah, it was a good header down. Make the keeper make a save. I think Strouk probably did what you'd want him to do there. But again, what was one of our best chances from? Oh, look, a set piece.
Yeah, it was very set piecey. I thought it was funny when Nonto came on, like him having to go get the ball in the centre half positions.
Just...
and run all the way across the pitch, looking at everyone going, someone move in some way. It was just, I thought that second half was really, really quite poor. Because I know it's weird to say, because obviously did that put Villa fourth in the league? I don't know if they're still there. Oh, yep, still fourth.
It did at the point, yeah.
Yeah, they're still fourth. And like, and I don't think Villa fans would be annoyed at me saying this. I don't think they were any good.
No, I felt the same with them as I probably did about Spurs. I think that was a good chance for us to come away with something.
Yeah.
And I think we wasted it. Yeah. You know, they are undoubtedly a very good team with some fantastic players there. But we got to them, and we just... there is this part of me, right, we're not in the Championship anymore. We have already probably played about I'm going to say four or five games less than we would have done at this point in the championship.
Something like that.
I don't think we'd be far off, but obviously...
I've just at a glance, teams have played 12 in Premier League, 17 in the championship.
Okay. So, yeah.
Yeah.
There's a lot of talk of tiredness. And I know the combination of Calvert-Lewin and Lucas Metcher are not fully fit.
And haven't been for years.
Yeah. But Jesus Christ, can we not talk about tiredness here?
Yeah, well, in fairness, it's that long cup run we have that really tires them out.
Oh, dear.
See, Bamford scored.
He did, yeah. He looked so happy as well, bless him.
Yeah. Obviously, we talked about Farker's job security a lot in the that was basically the previous podcast. I said before, I think he'll get this game, and then because if we win it, maybe he stays in the job, and if we don't, they'll let him have these hard games and sack him after the Liverpool game. That is still what I think is going to happen.
Yeah, it still comes back to what's next, and the answers aren't great, but I can only imagine at this point his remit for these three games is look competitive.
Yeah, get
give them a game. And
you can get at Chelsea. They're a much better side than us, and they should batter us. But you can get at Chelsea, and Liverpool are on their worst run of form since 1992.
I mean, even Man City have, they lost at the weekend as well, didn't they? And then they've lost midweek in the Champions League.
Did you see the team they put out against Leverkusen?
I did not see the team.
They rested everybody.
Oh, good.
Because with the Swiss form in the Champions League, if you're a good side, there's no actual jeopardy. You can afford to just chuck one away.
Yeah.
So, everyone will be back in and fully fit for the game against Leeds.
Play midweek. Did Calvin Phillips play midweek?
No, they were resting players. They weren't taking the piss. Although that has come back around today.
I said to you on Sunday, at what point do we sign Calvin Phillips in January, if nothing else, as a PR move?
Yeah, and the answer is probably we won't because we can't afford him, but they would if they could.
I know there is room in the budget because we clearly tried to sign someone at some point.
I mean, only if they'll let us pay 10% of his wages. I mean, let's say that we'll pay 30% of his wages. That'll be 75 grand a week.
Oh, bless him.
The numbers don't lie, and they spell disaster for Calvin Phillips, except financially. So we're away at Man City on Saturday. They're Man City. They will keep the ball a lot, but they are now capable of going direct when the option arises because Erling Haaland is about the best centre forward in the world for that job. Stack is out. Longstaff is also out for 4 to 6 weeks.
Yep. You know, when we were talking, it's just like, then I said, not so jokingly, what we could really deal with is Brendan Aaronson being injured just to take the crutch away from Farker.
Mm.
And I don't think he's going to play Ilya Gruev.
Well, I was going to say the options are, if he sticks with the same formation, he basically has to play Gruev. Which, fine, whatever. If there's ever a time to play a back three, it is now. Two of your midfielders are out. You're going to do it, now is when you do it.
It's either that or you go back to the 4-2-3-1.
Yeah, that'll help.
I don't think it matters. Clearly, as I've seen us concede these goals this season, it does not matter how many we have in that position. There's going to be space anyway.
Yeah.
So we might as well send Joel Pirou forward. Joel Pirou's going to play as a holding midfielder. It's where he ends up anyway, to be honest, whenever we're chasing a goal.
No, the long-term thing, he's going to end up somehow playing on the right wing. I'm not sure how it's going to happen, but he's going to happen.
Oh, God.
And you think Dan James likes to cut inside on his left foot and have a bad shot? People of those might be better shots.
Wildly speculative.
They won't be better anything else.
We have both said in this that Longstaff did not play well at the weekend and has not played well for a few weeks now. I'd still much rather have him available.
I mean, yeah.
Because, as you look at the options, Gruev comes in having not played for...
Yeah.
It's pretty much since the Arsenal game. I think he's made a sub appearance in there.
Yeah, you'd have to put... Like, Tanaka would become the right centre mid. Gruev left, Ampadu in the middle.
Ooh, the movement.
Yeah, like...
This is why I said if you do it as a 4-2-3-1. I still don't think Tanaka is a 10. But I'd rather just have Ampadu and Gruev sit deep and be nowhere near any attacking movement.
If you sit Ampadu and Gruev, I think it would be Tanaka anyway.
Yeah.
If you sat Ampadu and Gruev in front of the back three, and then... I just think that's his best chance of shithousing and a 0-0 or a 1-1. I don't really see. I'll be honest, there's no hope as far as I can tell. But this having players out, I wonder if it might force Farke into doing something different.
At what point do we look in the some cunt on a free bin and?
I think Ziyech is still on loan.
What is Guilavogi doing? can he be that guy twice?
Looking after his brother. Because Newcastle really, really... And now, don't go on, Newcastle are a mile better than us. Newcastle were able to really get at Man City with a 4 and a 3. But look at the energy in that midfield. Like, Tonali's got plenty, but then Guimaraes and Joe Linton are about as good as you're going to get for that sort of thing.
Mm.
If we're trying to do the same thing, and it's Gruev,
it's just
not going to be the same. And it's not his fault. But, like, if he goes tear arsing in to Phil Foden or Bernardo Silva, they're just going to... And they're gone. So it's why I really am hoping that Vaga's gone, all right, this is the time. And whether it's one up top or two up top, either big deep with someone near Calvert-Lewin or deep, and you just play both of them in a 5-3-2 and just go, right, you're both up there. Whichever one it's going to, the other one get near them.
Oh, I just can't see it happening.
Oh, I can't even.
Needs must, so like, I would like to think someone who is ever so slightly more tactically flexible would look at that squad availability and think, yeah, you know what? We will do three centre backs, two wing backs, Tanaka and Ampadu in the middle because it's what we have.
Yeah.
And
that's the
Jack Harrison.
That's the other. I don't think there's any chance he does this. The other option is you play James Justin at right back and you put Bogle in midfield. Because he's technically good enough. And
yeah.
I don't think there's any chance he actually does that, but you sort of could do that.
All right, so the question is now, because I genuinely think there's a very good chance he is going to play Brendan Aaronson as a centre mid. I think there is a very good chance you have Ampadu, Tanaka, Aaronson in the middle. And that thought terrifies me.
I mean...
And I don't think I think that's as a three.
Yeah, I don't think it's a good idea, but if it was going to be such a defensive three where the only job of that right centre midfield basically is to tear ass around, try to make tackles and then just clear stuff.
Hmm.
I mean, I'm not sure his ball striking is good enough for clearances, but
he caught that volley, didn't he?
Like, yeah, that was a good effort, but like I couldn't rule out him doing it, but I think he'd go for Gruev instead if he's going to play that formation.
So
what? In what minute does Erling Haaland score for the first time?
It's the first minute as soon as they take kickoff, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
There is no zero.
Yeah. Okay. I'll take that, please. God, it is terrifying. Like I know.
There's
I know there is.
Have I used my triple captain yet?
I know that they haven't got back to what they were 2 years ago.
Oh, it's available.
But it's such a good team. Like, there's still a very good team there.
Well, I mean, if you look at, like, you know, the Leverkusen game that you didn't watch, and they were quite poor in by all accounts. They got beat 2-0. But it was their, like, massively, massively rotated team, which was
I don't know if this is me or your sound was cut out.
There we go. I think that's fixed it. I did knock a button with my elbow.
Ah, okay.
Right, but yeah, their this is their massively rotated team. Trafford in goal, Kucherov, Stones, Ake, Aitnori, Rico Lewis, Gonzalez, Reinders, Bob, Marmoush, Savinho.
Bob.
That is their massively rotated team, and every single one of those players walks into our team.
Yes.
Like, not even questionable. You know, yeah, Kucherov, it might well not be at right back, but he would still get in the team.
Listen, he could be a centre forward in our team.
I mean, yeah, John Stones definitely could.
Well, I think you, me, and Alex were discussing the merits of getting Harry Maguire in next year to lead the line. Such is our thoughts on this Leeds team at the moment.
Do you think there is anything we can do other than sit deep and just try and shit out?
No, not like even this team not sure that's the problem. Like, I don't know what the threat is from our team. Like, it's, I would say if you have, and here is hoping, because if Dan James does not start this game, Farker might as well go.
Yeah,
like,
he is by far our best counter-attacking opportunity.
Like, if you're going to play this, you need your two wide players to both be players who have a level of composure on the ball. And I know much has been said about Dan James, and every now and again he still has a moment where you're going, wow, there's Dan James 4 years ago with that cross. Mm. But, and like that left foot shot he had on Sunday.
Yeah.
But in terms of an attacking end product, there is so much more there from him than there is Brendan Aaronson. And again, this isn't a knock on Brendan Aaronson at this point. That is not the sort of player he is.
Yeah. Do you think, though, that Farker, considering we are playing Man City away, do you think there's any way he starts Okafor and James?
I mean, my system, yeah, because I think Brendan Aaronson's a centre mid, so that's why I think this happens.
But that's the thing. But that's why I think it will be Aaronson on the right wing. Because I think the only way he starts James is if he drops Okafor and Aaronson plays on the left to help out Goodmanson. I just can't see Farker having any more than two attackers on the pitch. One of the wingers and a centre forward. I think that's the absolute maximum number of attackers he will be willing to pick.
And like, I think with this now, and from listening to Don't Go to Bed Just Yet, I think one of the things that I was quite interested listening to Adam Pope say was that obviously in terms of the decision to keep Farker, it's not as clear cut as you've dropped below the point a game average, so you're gone. But there needs to be something that we can take from these games. Wait, because look, we are going to fall behind that now. Like, that's going to happen these next three games. But there needs to be something you can take from these games, and it has to be a total 90 minutes of, I can see something from this group.
Yeah.
I really don't think he has it in him, and it's getting to the point where I don't know if they have it in them as a team. Because of, and not necessarily their fault, I think just the squad that is there. But there is... The only argument for not doing something slightly different in this game is, oh, what's your goal difference? And ours are... But ours already isn't great.
Yeah, but it we can't afford to get beat 6-0. Because goal difference might end up being important. And unfortunately, like...
Whereas I'm in the mindset already, I don't think it will be.
It probably won't be, but it might be. I've been more pessimistic going into lots of games than this one. But there were games where I was like, we should be able to get something out of this. And I just can't see it. And that's why, and that's me being a pessimist. This, it's bordering on smiling pessimism. I see no good way out of this at all. I'd love to be wrong, but I just can't see it. Like, I haven't had predictions in yet off Connie or Alex, but Benny has gone for a quite conservative 3-0 Man City, and little Danny's gone for 7-0 to Man City. I think we're going to like give ourselves some false hope by being 0-0 after about 20 minutes. And then I think we're going to lose 5-0.
Oh, wow. I am going to match the 3-0 defeat.
Cool. It'll be quite funny to see if, because Connie is comfortably last in these predictions because he is such a relentless. Not comfortably. Benny's down there as well. But I will say that Alex has taken quite the lead because he's got the last two scores bang on.
Oof.
So he's 24. Me, you, and little Danny, 16. Benny, 8. Connie, 6. If we're in the formation we expect him to pick, who do you think is our best chance?
It's very much, if Dan James plays, I think it's him. If it's not, if Dan James is not there, it's Noah Okafor.
Yeah. Because, like I'd say, if he does go to that back three, the two I would play up from are Calvert-Lewin and Okafor. Because I think that's probably your best shout. I can actually see an argument for playing Calvert-Lewin and Dan James. You've got one guy who can win headers and the one guy who's quick enough to really run in behind him and make some of stuff. But I don't think there's a chance of that. I think Dan James is our only chance on the counter. And maybe the outside shot is Goodmanson. Because they will commit everyone. And he does have, it's not just that he's quite quick. He remains quick for 75 yards. We've seen it.
Yeah.
So he might be our one way of really getting up the pitch if they commit.
Well, I would say that the other argument I think for having Dan James is it's going to be Jeremy Doku on their left-hand side who is having a fantastic start to the season.
Yeah. I know Bogle isn't a bad defender and he's better than he was a couple of years ago. But like against Doku, he's going to be in serious trouble.
Yeah. So, and you've got... O'Reilly at left back as well, who is just seemingly having the time of his life at the moment.
Yeah. I've made quite a few quid on Nico O'Reilly being over his shots over the last few weeks. Yeah. Yeah, I think the only way that Farke gets sacked after this game is if it is 5 or 6-0. if we are just solid and stick back and get beat 2-0, they'll let him see out the week. The only way it's changing is if we get absolutely battered and then it's some combination of Scott Gardner and Johnny Howson for the Chelsea and Liverpool games.
They're going to bring Gavin Rothery in to help.
Look, I don't know what we did, because we did have a spare slot in the squad. Did we register Johnny Howson? I don't think we did.
I don't know. I can't remember.
Because we did have a spare slot.
Was that because we got rid of Isaac Schmidt? Then opened up a space? Or did we just go with four goalkeepers in the squad?
I also don't know if he was injured, but I'm pretty sure that Harry Gray didn't play in the... Did you see the 21s beat Gateshead 3-0? In that, you know, the stupid JPT that is actually the National League instead.
Yeah.
That we won last year. Yeah, I don't think Gray played in that. So
take that, non-league football.
So given the injuries, I wonder if he's sneaking onto the bench.
Oh, God.
For the weekend.
Well, I assume it means a return to Jack Harrison anyway.
Well, there'd be...
Because obviously he dropped off.
Well, it's two of Harrison, Byram and Harry Gray, isn't it?
I keep forgetting about Sam Byram.
Yeah.
You know what? Get Byram in that coaching group.
Yeah.
It seems right. Yeah. Who would have been the generation just before those guys as well? Let's get... where's AD White? Get him in.
Well, I mean, I believe he's doing a fair bit of work with Radio Leeds, isn't he?
Yeah. He's like 33, is AD White. Yeah.
I know he's been like, on the West End, so like Dan Moylan can get in touch with him if needed. For what it's worth, I have just heard of Alex. He also has 0-5.
Yeah, brilliant.
Well, let me be clear, because we're away from home. A 5-0 loss. He does not have Leeds winning 5. but yeah, I think that will do us for episode 334. I don't know when we'll be back early next week, because the Chelsea game's for Wednesday night, isn't it?
Yes.
At 8:15. Ugh.
Amazon TV is fucking shit.
Isn't it not even on Amazon? It's TNT. They've just kept that slot from when the Amazon games were.
I have that. Oh, okay, yeah. Brilliant. I just assume because of the weird kickoff time. Yeah.
So, still shit. So, when that has 10 minutes of stoppage time at the end of the game, we'll get home at like fucking midnight. Well, so, yeah, that will do us. I've been Jack. See ya.
I've been Casey. Have a good one.
In a bit.